You are listening to a Need10 Media podcast production.
Are you a high school junior, senior, or maybe you've already graduated from high school? Are you looking to gain confidence and clarity with your future? Discover your pathway? Trying to relieve the stress of wondering about your future and not wasting your time and money, how you're going to get there? When you become a part of Career Venture Academy community, you've shown leadership in charting your pathway beyond education. The process begins to build your future with purpose. When you bring that all together, you discover who you are and the work you're designed to do. Go to nateclaiberg.com/yourpath. nateclaiberg.com/yourpath. All right, Jayhawks on the Zoom or on the move or on the Zoom, you decide what it is. As we get into our winter sports season, Jackson, the Move presented by Career Adventure Academy. Check out a Cyber Monday deal at nateclaiberg.com or go to Jayhawks on the Move and you will get $100 off. So we are ready to start the winter season. It's actually underway. One game under the belt for the Jayhawks. That was girls basketball up at O-line last week. But going to bring in head coach Joe Smines. And it's not actually Stacy. It's Jordan Conrad. I'm going to guess you just don't know how to change your name on your Zoom, and that's fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
That's all right. She's got it set up. So I just get to use it.
Okay. Well, that's good. You found your place and you're good with it. That's good. Matt Gross may join us from the wrestling side of things. So we'll see how see when he joins us in. But let's start last year and Jordan, let's talk about your season. As you kind of skated out of it into the girls state tournament last year, which was awesome for Jessup. It came at a great time where we needed something like that to take place on the successful season. And all of a sudden we were in lockdown, boys didn't get to have fans. And then things kind of changed from there last spring, but talk back through that state season last year, how it started and how it ended. Talk through that.
Yeah, so it was kind of a crazy first year.
It was your first year coaching. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. So, we started off with a couple of wins to start the year. We were pretty fortunate. We had a group of seniors that had played quite a bit, had a lot of experience under their belts, but transitioning to a little bit of a different offense, which they did a really good job of. But we got off to a little bit of a shaky start, I guess you could say. I think we were 4-3 to start the year. And then we went off and started playing pretty good basketball, and we won 16 out of 17 games, I think, on that stretch on our way to the state tournament. Beat some good teams along the way. You know, we had a solid conference last year, three teams represented at the state tournament with us and Dyke, New Hartford, and Denver. And three of our losses last year came to Dyke alone out of the five and one to Denver. So four of our five losses were to state tournament teams. So, some pretty quality losses, pretty good resume there. Like you said, made our way to the state tournament, got off to a good start that game. You know, we're winning after the first quarter. We're feeling good about playing Dyke, you know, for a third time. We thought we knew everything we needed to know about them, and just unfortunately didn't come out to on the right end of things. But it was a really good year, a really fun year. Really proud of what the girls were able to accomplish last year.
Well, and, you know, just talking back, and I know we talked about this on some pregame shows, but, you know, you look at your set of offense was very different than what Tom had. And, you know, Tom had Tom Klein had such a good stretch as the coach there and you coming in, but there had to be that along the way of changing that offense with girls that were used to a different offense, but eventually it just took.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's going to be some of that this year too, with a lot of new faces in there. But, you know, credit to Tom and the staffs before me, because they taught that group a lot about, you know, some of the basic fundamental stuffs of rotations and really solid defensively and all of those things that allowed us time to focus on some of those other areas last year to really help us develop at a more rapid pace.
I wasn't used to the energy on that sideline that now you have brought that changed things up on the girls basketball end of things. So yeah. I've got to think that the girls, well, you had a lot of those girls through middle school ball but I'm going to guess you were not as animated on the sideline as a middle school coach as you were as a varsity coach. You're probably afraid of the AD at that point.
That's not true at all.
No, I would say it's probably pretty close. not a whole lot of difference, I don't think. Still have high expectations of the girls, no matter what level it's at. So no matter what level you're at, you can have a lot of energy from the girls' perspective. And that's what I try and help them get to. That's one of our areas of focus is have a ton of energy at all times. So want the girls to have that. I think I got to have some of it too. So that's my thought behind it all.
All right, Joe, let's talk about, where things ended up from last year, how you're rolling into this year. You lost quite a few players from last year, if I remember right.
Yeah, we lost two starters, Cooper Fueling, who had an outstanding career for us. I think he was a top 10 3-point shooter in school history. Lost Landon Barrett, who was a 3-year starter, one of our all-time leading rebounders in school history. And then last year we played a majority of the year without Brody Kresser, who was our best player, best returning player. Was an all-conference player as a sophomore. Hurt his shoulder during football of his junior year, re-injured it during the season, and that was a huge difference for us. Him not having him, so we basically were without him and replacing him and two other starters from last year. With that being said, we've transitioned last year into having Carson Lino played as a sophomore, played all varsity last year, started I think close to 20 ball games. He looks like a totally different person right now than he was a year ago at this time. Really looking forward to watching him develop this year. Corbin Fueling was a kid that we brought up at Christmas last year. Started for us a lot part of the year. Had some huge games for us against Don Bosco comes to mind. And then Union at home. He'll be in the mix. And then Parker McCone, another kid that we brought up at Christmas last year. And then at the end of the year, arguably was one of our best players. Will be our point guard this year. So, we have some guys returning that have played and have started. And then the last one that comes to mind is Jace Pilcher. Jace had just a tremendous football season, and he's playing his best basketball right now. He's changing positions in basketball. He was our point guard last year. He's going to a more off-the-ball position that fits him a little bit better, and he's looked tremendous so far. So we're excited about this year's group. This group made a commitment at the end of last year. The year didn't end how we wanted it to. We didn't play good enough. We didn't coach good enough last year. And starting in February, this group has really been committed as much as they possibly could. Obviously, we didn't have a spring. But after the season was over until we went on quarantine, this group was working 2 or 3 times a week together in the gym. And then this summer, when we were able to pick it back up in July, did the same thing. So we're excited for this group this year and excited for what we have coming up.
Well, yeah, I think back to Lenau and Fueling when they stepped foot on the floor. I'm like, wow, who are these guys? And it's like, I remember Luke and I just saying, especially Lenau, I'm like, as good as he was then defensively and where he was at, I'm like, wait till his senior year. But, even his I guess, sophomore year. And then the energy I think you've been missing on the floor for a few years, you're going to get that with Fueling in there. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, Lenau, like I said, has really changed. We expected this out of him at some point, just from the genes. His older brother was such a good player for us. And they're different players. But Carson's really grown into his body here the last year. Looks tremendous, playing tremendous, and just a tremendous kid, first of all. Great leader. And then you're right, Corbin's energy is infectious. He is 100% all the time getting after it. And then on top of that, Parker McCone plays at about 100 mile an hour all the time. So those three guys right there, along with Brody Kresser, who never takes a playoff, and then Jace, we're really excited about those five guys and their energy. And then we have some other guys as well that bring up the energy level. Our practices have been totally different this year. I think our team makeup is just different. We knew that going in. This group's a little different because they're not as big as maybe we've been. So they got to play a little more scrappier and a little more intensity in the full court. So this group will look a little different than what we've seen before.
So let's get into, I guess, the topical thing of where we're at now with restrictions and changes, things like that. But I want to see if there's a positive in there. Coach Green saw it in cross country you can get out and run, you know. It didn't matter if you were in quarantine or not. Basketball is kind of the same thing. You can grab that ball and you can shoot. Did you get a sense that players, girls, and boys were out shooting hoops, just getting some reps in? Did you get a sense of that, Jordan?
Yeah, I know we had a couple of girls playing for teams that yet this summer that were playing. And, you know, we got some of the same things that Joe's talking about. We got a smaller team and we're going to rely a lot on that intensity and quickness as well. We got some cross countries in there, runners in there that had a great season and fortunate enough for us to come in some pretty good shape. So hopefully they're ready to go. So there's those aspects that get thrown into it and rolled up into it as well. But yeah, there's been some big steps taken forward from a couple of our players that we're excited for this year.
How about you, Joe? Where'd you see your guys? You're there in the gym, in the hoops, north side on North Street by the bus barn shooting some hoops. Did you get a sense of that?
Yeah, a lot of it. It was interesting because, you know, when we went on quarantine, I don't know when that was March, and you know, it's kind of a bigger time for us for boys basketball, just in terms of spring league, AAU, and a lot of our AAU kids that play. We have quite a few numbers. They kept playing through all of it, so they actually got a lot of work in, but they still wanted to be with their, you know, Jessup teammates and do stuff. I was getting texts all the time. Hey, can we just sneak in the gym? Can we go up by ourselves? No. But you know, a lot of them asked for workouts they could do out in their driveway, and so. They were raring to come back. They were ready to come back in June. We finally able to come back in July. And I think the first day we had open gym, I think we had every player there that was there that was going to be out this year. I mean, that doesn't happen. So they were ready to go.
So, you know, from your AD hat and your basketball coach's hat, you know, there's some changes that have to go into place now, just like we had for the fall season. The obvious one is how many people will be in the gym, but, you know, on the floor, What's some COVID impacts that you have to follow or encouraged to follow or that you're putting in to make sure you're keeping everybody safe?
Yeah. You know, depending on where you go in our league, it may look a little differently. You know, for us, our kids on the bench will be a high majority of the time in mask. You know, if you're a rotational player, you're coming in and out frequently, they may not have one on all the time. But if you're just a bench guy, you will have a mask on along with our coaching staff. You know, I'll wear one a high majority of the time. That's the plan. I've been wearing it at practice the high majority of the time. I know AP had a Hall of Pride game Saturday, and they actually had their chairs on the other side of their gym where the fans would normally be, and they had their bleachers pushed in. They had them all spread out like you would see at a college or NBA game. Now, not every school can do that. So you'll see some differences there. If you came and watched practice, you wouldn't notice much differently than what you've noticed before. We do have a few kids that wear masks in practice. I know the girls have the same thing. You know, just trying to do the best job you can, sanitizing equipment, sanitizing your hands, wearing a mask when you're supposed to, all that. Not a lot different than the fall, but obviously the fans is the big thing. You know, only having two fans per athlete is a huge change. So. You know, we haven't hosted a home event yet. We host one. We have four this week, actually, three home basketball and one wrestling. So I'm sure there's going to be some things that need to be adjusted after the first week once we get through what it looks like. So it'll be interesting. But our kids have done a really good job of following what they're supposed to. And so have the adults. And it's just going to be a change. It seems to change every day, every hour sometimes what's supposed to be happening. So we're doing the best we can.
And then how's that going to work with ticketing, just to kind of give parents and people a heads up on how it all kind of is going to work?
Yeah, I'll show you. This is actually one of the boys basketball tickets. Each sport has their own. So girls basketball, I can't remember the color they're off the top of my head, but each sport has their own tickets. They'll be sent home with the kids. If they haven't already brought them home, they should be, you know, here in the next couple of days.
Girls that's basketball for the whole season, or it's game by game?
Yeah, no, it's for the whole season. And now in the NICL, we're doing this at least through Christmas break. I know the governor's proclamation expires at some point in the next, you know, week to 10 days. Within the league, we're doing it all the way through Christmas, and you keep it for the whole year, so you don't turn them in. They can be changed within your family, so if you can't go some night, you can give it to a grandparent or an aunt or uncle. No issues there. And then one of the big questions is how long can I stay? And so there's all kinds of scenarios that could happen. A couple are this. So if you have a JV player, you should arrive when the JV game starts. If they're only playing JV, you should leave after the JV game is over. If you have a kid that's playing JV and varsity, then you obviously could stay through all of that. You know, if we have a boy-girl game, you have a JV player and then a varsity boys basketball player, you could stay the whole night. You don't have to leave. But you should not get there until your kid's game starts, and then you should leave when they're all done. You know, you don't have to leave in between there. So I know I've answered a lot of questions, and anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out to me because it can be a little confusing.
So we're not looking at black market tickets, counterfeiting. We got guy out front says need tickets, you know, there's no scalping.
Get two, got so, two for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So Jordan, talk through on the girls end of things, some things that you're doing to keep everybody safe.
So the girls, we probably have, you know, I would say a third to a half of the team wearing masks during practice. They're not, like Joe's mentioned, they're not mandatory during practice, but some of the girls are taking those precautions. We're sanitizing, you know, managers are staying on top of that for us during every so often, making sure everybody's getting over there using some hand sanitizer or whatever it may be, bringing their own water bottles, things like that, like they're used to at school. I think we wore them during warmups during our first game, but similar to Joe, not in the regular rotation. They'll be wearing them on the bench. We also, if you saw the game, you might have noticed me making sure there was some distance there between the girls at the end of the bench and the girls in the regular rotation, kind of putting my arms out, guesstimating 6 feet in there. So sliding some chairs down a little bit just to make sure there's some distance, so that we don't have to come into any of those situations where, you know, we need people to sit out because of those within 6 feet.
So you had a nice win, 57-24 over Oline last week, got things going and, you know, had some pretty good scoring in that game. But now we're going to run into this week, and, you know, it's hot and heavy. You got Sumner Fred, you know, coming up tomorrow, end the week with Wapsie Valley. Talk through this week. I think this will be the sense of trying to get a sense of, you know, how things were last week and, you know, coming into this week, what you anticipate these games, especially being at home.
Yeah. So, well, first off, I guess I'll step back before we get into that is we did have a scrimmage on Saturday. We went over to Vinton and had a scrimmage. So I thought that was nice for the girls to get in, you know, not scrimmaging each other all the time, get to see a few new looks, gave us to work on a few things defensively. And that, I think that helped kind of the measuring stick for us as a coaching staff and as players, because Vinton's going to have a good team in the WOMAC over there. So that was good experience for us. Coming into the conference play, yeah, first conference game on Tuesday versus Sumner. They'll be a tough team. They have, I don't know what they do up in Sumner, but again, they'll have lots of size, something that we'll lack in. So we'll have to find some ways, like we did last year, to make entries into the post really tough and maybe create some turnovers and get some points off of that. And try and avoid too much of a half-court game with them where they can you know, get post ups. They got a couple 6'1" girls that are going to be on the inside. So with us not having a girl, I don't know, maybe one girl 5'10", maybe, you know, and the rest of them not even really sniffing that. So those are tough matchups for us if we allow them to pound it inside. So we're going to have to do a good job of having ball pressure to avoid those types of situations. Going into Wapsie Valley, they're going to be much improved from last year. I've seen some film on them already. Trying to get ahead of the game on some things. And I can tell their girls are playing hard, and, you know, they had a rough stretch last year, but they are going to be much improved. They have some good kids that will cause a couple of tough matchups for us as well. Another real tall girl that is good in the post that we'll have to deal with, but really looking forward to getting conference play started.
So Joe, you guys haven't hit the floor officially yet, but you've had some scrimmages there too, I'm sure. Trying to figure out what you have going.
Yeah, we typically have our jamboree at North Lynn, and that did not happen this year for a multitude of reasons. Then we were supposed to have a scrimmage. We normally scrimmage the East High and North Fayette Valley. That evolved into not either of them being able to come. We were supposed to scrimmage Janesville. And then that didn't happen. I tried some other schools and just didn't happen. So we actually didn't have, we haven't played against anybody else but ourselves, which is interesting at this point of the year. You know, we've had a lot of people gone. So these next 3 days are going to be really, really critical for us. Hopefully get some continuity here, but we had a scrimmage last Monday actually with ourselves, where we brought over three officials, actually two officials. Mr. Chamberlain came over to help us, something we don't normally do. And then we scrimmage ourselves on Saturday in our actual game uniforms, make sure those fit, cause we normally have pictures done by now. We haven't done that either because of people being gone. So,
right.
These next 3 days are really critical for us. Hopefully we have everybody here that's able to be here. We still have a few that are gone, to get some continuity before we play Old Wine on Thursday. So Old Wine opens up tonight, versus Starmont. So we should be able to see them on film, before Thursday. And then
might as well get things going Friday, you know, might as well bring a state championship team in and, you know, kind of cut your teeth there.
Bring over Coach McCowan and the defending state champions with, you know, four starters back, and then picked up a transfer from Sigourney who averaged 15 as a freshman last year. So yeah, they won't be too bad. Our league will be absolutely ridiculous this year. The top four teams from last year will all be very, very good. And then Hudson will be solid too, along with Sumner. So it'll be interesting, but you know, we're excited to play somebody else. You know, it's been interesting. I was telling somebody the other day that feels like Saturday at practice, we had guys that I haven't missed yet that know everything we're doing. We have guys that haven't been there at all, or been there one or two times. We have guys that have been there early in practice, missed a week, and now are back. So we're all over the map right now. Hopefully, that's why the next 3 days are very critical. And I'm glad we're not playing tonight or Tuesday night. So I'm glad we're not playing until Thursday.
So let's. You've got a little tweak on your coaching staff now too. You got the garbage man on the bench officially. Am I right with Rodney?
Selesky, actually, he was.
Is he official?
Well, he was he's actually a middle school paid coach now. So he was on our staff as a volunteer the last 2 years. And now he's a middle school assistant or middle school coach with Brock Sabres. So, which Rodney, you know, Rodney's been great. He was a great player for us. Same way as a coach, just he should be in teaching and coaching. I've told him that for a long time, but he's in the healthcare field. So, but he's a middle school coach and doing a great, he will do a great job for us in that level once they get started again.
Talk through, again, your staff that you got sitting beside you this season.
Yeah, we got Steve Schmidt. This will be his ninth year on the staff. He started with Coach Baldwin, and then when I took over as head coach, he kept as my main assistant. Just does a great job. He's kind of our harder nose guy, I would say, in practice.
Good cop, bad cop, that type of thing?
A little bit, yes and no. But he's just a little more hard. He's a little hard nosed, and it's because of his red hair, he would tell you. But he does a great job. And then we have Nick Donnelly, who's been – obviously a head coach here before. He's a volunteer. Great to have on the bench. And Mike Johnson, this will be Mike's, I think, fourth or fifth year on staff as a volunteer. Works with our post players and then our fresh soft team. He just does a great job there as well. So and then we have Brock Sabres, who's actually been coming to practice with the high school since middle school is not practicing right now. One of the best players ever to play here. And it's great to have him because he's been in the system. He knows the kids. So and then Rodney Selesky. So really good staff to work with, great camaraderie, great chemistry, and that's important for any group.
So you got Brock and Rodney out there in the lane just kind of causing havoc, you know, trying to put up some size against them?
Yeah, they need to. But neither of those guys can guard anybody when they played, so I'm kidding. Rodney could guard. Sabres couldn't guard anybody. He'd tell.
Yeah, I imagine. He was all show and no go, I'm sure.
That's right.
How it was.
Great staff. We're really lucky to have those guys. And, you know, we haven't had much change from our staff in 9 years other than, you know, when Coach retired, Coach Baldwin and I took over, and a few middle school people. But it's been mainly the same, and that's been huge for us.
So, Jordan, let's talk through your staff. You got Jason sitting beside you, but talk through who's helping you on that bench and on the floor.
Yeah, so we got, like you said, Coach Pilcher is next to me. We came up together last year to the high school ranks together at the same time, and we had coached for a year in the middle school together. But now taking over the middle school, we got Bruce Wall and Taylor Sickles who are really good. I think Bruce has got that teacher mentality, and he is the head coach, you know, for baseball, so he knows everything he's doing there. So it's nice to just kind of be able to hand off to them and know that they're gonna know what to do and take care of things. And you know, Taylor comes from that Wapsie Valley background, so he knows a little bit about basketball as well. And coming from the former state or the most recent state champions and coach Marty McCallum.
So yeah, you guys were a tag team in middle school, I think, back early on when my daughter was playing. Yeah. So getting it back in the system. Look who got out of bed. Coach Gross making his way into Jayhawks on the Move. So I was just wrapping up with Coach Smines and Coach Conrad. And you guys can drop off if you want. And I'll finish out with Coach Gross. But, basketball, you guys got games this week. And get into an extended version of Jayhawks on the Zoom or on the Move or whatever it is. But, Coach, wrestling has been the one that I know the least about of what's going to happen this year. But let's rewind to before all of this stuff was happening in our world, to your first year last year with your wrestling squad and how it's evolving into this season. Talk through that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been quite the transition. I feel like wrestling's really grown here, even in the last year. So when I first got here, we had 13 kids, a really strong senior class. And then now as this year came along, we kind of implemented some things that, sun's up and, kind of changed how we view wrestling. So not very often did we do off season workouts. Obviously this year kind of limited that option, but we still held, I want to say 20 some practices. I led 15 and the players led 10 or so, and we had great participation in all of those. And I think that really jump-started our every kid getting pumped up for it. So we had 15 kids start. We had 14 kids start, but by the end of it, I had 25 kids showing up just to see what everything was, just to kind of see what was happening. So
that was last year or this year?
This year. So this summer we started having a lot more kids get pumped up for it. So we went from 13 to 25, which is just unbelievable numbers for us, especially here, because a couple years ago I think we had 7 kids out, ended with 4, and then this year we've got 24 still out. So that's just, kids are loving it. The jump is huge. It's been a while since they were able to get pumped up for it, and I feel like this is a great year for it. Sorry, we're getting milk and everything else.
No, this is great. This is reality of Jayhawks on the Move. You get to see it all. You know, I saw the lemonade sign. I thought he's going to pour lemonade in that sippy cup, but no, you had to go with the milk. So
no, we went with the milk. That's the one. That's the great silencer.
Yep, just hand it to it. But yeah, numbers have been the thing the last few years. There's been some evolution in the coaching staff, in the coaching program. I guess talk through your philosophy of trying to get kids to take an interest in coming back to wrestling, and trying to build that program, because there was always so many open weights and it was just hard. I guess it would be hard to just want to be on that team and go after every day because. It was hard to even work as a team because you had so many open weights. We had a lot of good individuals over the years, but coming together as a team.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a great wrestler, it's kind of hard to keep those kids because they don't have practice partners. There's no one to push them. When we have Saturday tournaments, it's hard to get a kid, you know, hey, let's go spend 12 hours in BGM on a Saturday and wrestle when there's only 4 kids that even show up to the bus ride to go, cause there's only 7 kids out. I mean, it's just
right.
Getting that excitement level, building that family is kind of my main philosophy for it. Wrestling doesn't have to stink. And that's probably also the number one thing that I like to preach, is that we can have a lot of fun doing it. And that's where the cornerstone starts, is kids show up and they don't want to, you know, condition for an hour and learn to wrestle and get beat on and, you know, start to hate the sport. And that's just where that disconnect comes, where people think they're going to walk into this room and see a bunch of guys screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering, and there's not a single smile. And I think once kids kind of entered that room and they saw that other people were having fun, even though we're obviously working hard, that you can have fun doing it is where people are like, hey, wait a second, this doesn't look too bad.
Right.
And, we like to treat everyone like that too. If you walk through those doors, you know, you have the second you buy in, is the second that I buy in. So I'm there for them. I don't care if you've wrestled for 0 days, I'm there coaching you. And I think they really like having that coach to athlete, just because I'm always there for them. I mean, hey, if we're doing extra practice, we'll see you there. And right. There's no, I don't care if you don't know how to get in a stance, we'll teach you. And I think they really do like that. So.
Well, I think it's good as you're doing your student teaching and you're kind of working through the Jessup system and then end up getting you hired down in the district, and you're seen in the building, people get to know you, the kids get to know you, and I think that there's a big impact there. But let's talk through this season and how is this going to work? You know, this is the big question, you know, when we're talking about social distancing and all this stuff with football. Wrestling is a little bit different. You know, there isn't 6 feet or sometimes even 6 inches between the athletes. What's the state saying? What are you doing to try and keep these guys safe and keep the season going?
As far as competition, your guess is as good as mine. We've seen some tournaments fall off the map, but we've had other tournaments get thrown in there too. So we lost Starmont this year. O-line, they were downsizing, and we were kind of looking to get rid of one there too. So we picked up another one in BGM, but it seems like things are going towards competition being normal for us. Obviously, the refs aren't going to be touching the kids. They're not going to be raising hands. But as far as kids wrestling, like you said, it's going to be 6 inches. There's no inches, you know. So, but in the wrestling room to help contain that is we are wrestling with pods. We have pods this year. So it's just like in school. You're only allowed to wrestle a group of four, which stinks for the kids because we had to really, or we still have to really focus on pairing them by skill set, by someone that can push somebody. By, you don't want a new kid with the kid that's going to break him every day because
sure.
Go in and get whipped. So you want that other kid to have someone else that they can partner with. But for that aspect, we've just been pairing these kids up and they stay in the pods and they don't get to leave. So if we have an outbreak, then it's just contained to that. There's no interaction. If we do have group interaction, it's a couple minutes, not anything longer than, you know, the required 15. So, but that's about it. We're keeping pods and we'll wear a mask everywhere we go. We wear a mask before practice. We wear a mask the second practice gets over. We'll wear a mask on the bus. We'll go wrestle and cross our fingers that we can, you know, have 25 kids go out there and kick some butt this year.
Well, talk through your schedule that you've got, you know, finally getting into some competition. Talk through how this is going to begin for you guys and what you're going to see.
It's going to start out, I won't even call it a very good gauge. It's going to be a tough start to the year. We wrestle Southwind tomorrow. They've got a really good squad. I think they got about 6 ranked kids on their team, and a lot of those ranked kids kind of fall into our first, second year kids, where I don't expect them to go out there and, you know, tech fall in the sky, but I do expect them to go out there, compete and fight, and then gauge their learning from night one to February 10th. That's the biggest growth. And I'm hoping that we don't get down on that because we go Southwind. We wrestle a Maquoketa Valley team. I don't think they had very many kids out last year. But then we go right over to the big one that everyone in Jessup likes to come watch is the old Don Bosco. And mm-hmm. I think they're probably going to have their best team that they've, which is scary to say, ever had.
Yeah,
they've got 5 guys ranked number one, something like 9 guys ranked in the top 5. So, I mean, we start the year out hot. But after those first couple duels, we got to bring everything back home. We're going to be home December 5th, wrestling in the high school. We're still holding that tournament. There is no JV side to it. And obviously, we only have 2 fans per wrestler.
Right.
But those kids really get to take a breath and say, all right, I'm back home. I can do everything I can. I mean, just to be a little bit more comfortable. So we go hard tournament at home where you can just give it all and you don't have to worry about getting back in the bus with your head back down. You can just have fun. But I think pick up after that too. So
what weight class is this guy in?
Oh, this guy's in.
Are you a wrestler?
Are you a wrestler? Yeah. He's going to be one, I'll tell you that. He's a
good guy. That's good. Yeah, drink more milk and you'll get there. Just keep going.
Yeah, we're just
keep going.
I want to make a comment too that last year for WrestleOff. We're talking over there. We only had three WrestleOffs the entire year. And I'm pretty sure they were the same. They're 106 probably like
sure.
This last week we had 14 WrestleOffs because we had, you know, 3 106, 3 113. Right. I mean 160, 170, 150. I mean we had 14 WrestleOffs throughout the team, which was just unbelievable because that's what really pushes those kids too, because now they can see growth inside the room versus outside the room. So now they got two things to chase now too. So lots of competition, lots of hard wrestling, which is really fun for them. And they love each other too. I mean, that's kind of cliche, but they go in there and they beat the crap out of each other and they come out and they're all smiles. I just love it. Awesome atmosphere in that room right now.
Well, Coach, thanks for joining us in, and we'll look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
Absolutely. Next time I will make sure I set that. Remember, thank you for staying on it for me.
Or I'll send you a reminder too. So, but Coach, good luck this season. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much. Yep.
All right. Head wrestling coach Matt Gross, as he chimed in at the end of our Jayhawks on the Move on the Zoom. As we record this on a Monday morning, and thank you to Jordan Conrad and also to Joe Smines, the athletic director and boys basketball coach for our Jayhawks, as we are excited to get this season underway. And before you know it, it's going to be full into it, and will we be talking March Madness? I guess we're going to find out how that's all going to kind of work. But again, I do want to thank everybody for joining us, Jax and the Move, presented by Career Adventure Academy. You know, a high school student out there that's still trying to figure out what they want to do after they graduate, might be a year, two, 3 years down the line. Invite them to check out Career Academy at NateKlaberg.com. I'm doing a special right now, kind of a friends and family discount, $100 off a discovery session that is guaranteed to open your eyes, that student's eyes, to what they are wired to do. So again, follow them. The link here inside the post, and we'll get them on the right track. Anyway, Jayhawks on the Move. Everybody have a great rest of your week. It is a good day to be a Jayhawk. Everybody have a good week. Go Jayhawks and be safe.
This is a Need 10 Media production.
Joe, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Scott.